Morning, brothers and sisters. It's great to be with you today. My name is Jason. I'm one of the pastors here at St. John's. I'm usually on a Sunday morning looking after our youth group, which meets in the back hall. But today I've got the privilege of leading us as we spend some time thinking about quite a challenging topic from God's Word. Now, before I begin, I kind of need to give a bit of a disclaimer and a warning that the subject matter for today can be quite alarming for a few of us. As we talk about a topic as distressing as abuse of power, it's natural that many of us might be quite overwhelmed by it. And so if that is you, please feel free to step outside if you feel the need just to kind of have a break. And can I also say, while we are trying to cover this topic, there's so much that should be said that unfortunately won't be said this morning. We can't cover everything, but what I'm hoping is that this morning is a good starting place as we start to think through some pretty big things. But friends, let me pray as we start thinking from God's Word together. Let's pray. Gracious Father, we thank you so much for the privilege and blessing it is to meet together as your people. Father, would you help us as we think on this quite alarming and challenging topic? Would you help us to think your thoughts after you as we seek to live for the Lord Jesus and seek to be those who understand power rightly from your word? And so would you give us wisdom, would you give us clarity, would you give us understanding, and would you help us to live for the glory of our great King, Jesus. And it's in his name we pray. Amen. Well, power tends to corrupt, and absolute power corrupts absolutely. So wrote the 20th century British historian Lord Acton. And Acton wrote those words in the context of how religious historians were to handle the corrupt and even criminal behavior of religious leaders, particularly popes, over history. It's interesting, isn't it? Because his words continue to resonate with people today in all areas of society, whether it's in the church or outside. We continue to observe terrible abuses of power. So few things have actually united human beings in recent times in their joint disgust at the ways in which people have used and abused their power for their own selfish pursuits. In fact, it might be right to say that there is nothing greater that people hope for today than the end of that kind of power imbalance. If you've been with us for the past month or so, we've been looking at this idea of hope. We now come to this last topic for our Hope for the World series. For the last month, we've been thinking about how we can hold out the hope of the gospel to a broken and hopeless world. And today we come to this topic of power. What hope does the gospel speak to a world that has known power used for selfish gain? Friends, it doesn't take long, does it, as we take a look at the news headlines around us to see so many examples of power being used in horrible ways. Corruption amongst politicians and CEOs. We've seen it with the rise of the Me Too movement, a response against sexual abuse and harassment that so many have experienced. We've seen it with the rise of movements like Black Lives Matter or the current debate about the Indigenous voice to Parliament. Whatever side of that debate you fall on, essentially it's a response to the terrible injustices and abuses of power that have occurred to particular racial groups in our society. And there are countless other movements that have grown in recent years to address this same problem. A quick Google search will tell you that there have been an amazing number of social justice movements that have started in the past 10 years. There seems to be no limit to the different ways in which people have used power to terrible ends. It's a problem that plagues our world, friends, but it's not just a problem out there as though it was something that we just kind of witness. It actually hits home for many of us as well. I mean, we've all experienced something of power being used against us in terrible ways, haven't we? The boss who uses his position to belittle or humiliate his workers. the teacher or lecturer who uses his influence to bully some of his students, or perhaps even the parent or the sibling who uses their power to make life at home a nightmare. It's almost like no matter where you go, you just can't get away from it. And as we dig into this issue, we often find that the church is no better than the rest of the world. We can find that the church is no better than the rest of the world. A couple of years ago, SBS had a show that they called Christians Like Us. It was a Big Brother-style documentary that saw 10 Australian Christians from very different backgrounds and very different churches live together under one roof for a week. It was a pretty tense and fiery show that involved some pretty heated debates. But one of the most heartbreaking and gut-wrenching scenes in the show was when one of the participants shared his story of abuse. This poor man said that from the ages of 10 to 15, he was constantly and horribly abused by the priest in his local church. He described his experience as a living nightmare that he endured during his teenage years. And the saddest part of all is that every time he tried to get help, every time he tried to talk to someone about it, someone who had the power to intervene, whether it was police officers or the bishop of that area, every single one of them failed him. You see, friends, it is a horrible and disgusting story of abuse in the church. And sadly, such heartbreaking stories are just way too common. You see, this is one of those issues that just proves too difficult for people. This is a genuine issue that stops some people even considering the claims of Jesus. And to be honest, can you blame them? I mean, how evil is it when someone who is meant to use their power to bring people to God uses it instead to satisfy their own sick desires? How is it even possible that the church, which is meant to be a sanctuary and a safe place for people, ends up being a place of unimaginable pain? Friends, the sad reality is that much misuse of power has happened in communities that bear the name of Jesus Christ. There is not one area of our world that has not been affected by abuse of power, and this includes the church. And so, where does the world turn for hope? Right? What is the world's hope when we see such abuse of power? Well, it seems to be a cry for true justice, isn't it? We've seen it over the past few decades with a surge in the number of revolutions and social justice movements that have begun. These are movements by people who want to see justice done. And so it's a hope to see the misuse of power being held, those who misuse power being held accountable, for them to face the consequences for their evil. It's a hope to see those who are victims know freedom and flourishing in their life, to go from being victims to victors. And it's a hope to see the end of all power imbalance in the world, a leveling of the playing field so that we are all on the same footing. You see, that's the hope that our world longs for. And yet often, and quite ironically, this hope is also tied to the hopeful expectation of a new generation of leaders. Our world looks for revolutionary leaders, people who will stand apart from the pack, people who will stand against corruption. It's the hope that power imbalance might be resolved or brought to an end by putting the right person in power. That's what our world is aching for. True justice to come and for someone to use power for good. Now, of course, the sad truth is, friends, the more our world tries to bring about these kinds of hopes, the more we see things get worse. How many times in history have we seen individuals leading revolutions only to become worse than the government that they overthrew? It seems like the only thing we human beings can do is to make more of a mess than we've already seen. But today, friends, what I want us to see is that the things that our world longs for, the hopes that our world desperately wants to see, an end to all abuse of power, those things can only come about through the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, while God's people have failed in this area, God certainly has not. And God still holds out the hope of a world where this kind of thing does not happen anymore. And so what we're going to do, we're going to see the biblical hope in Jesus to see where we can find true justice and where we can find a leader who uses power for good. And so we're going to take some time looking at the Bible passages that were just read to us. And so if you have your Bibles open in front of you, would you turn with me to Ezekiel chapter 34? Ezekiel chapter 34. And as you turn there, let me give a little bit of the context of what is happening in this part of God's word. You see, as we come to Ezekiel 34, we come to a time in the history of God's people when the prophet Ezekiel is speaking to a people who are in exile in Babylon. They've been kicked out of their home. Their town has been overcome by the Babylonians. And so they are a people living away from home, suffering terribly. But what Ezekiel 34 shows us is his suffering has not just come from the Babylonians, it's come from the people's own leaders. It's the leaders who have done the worst of it. And so God in Ezekiel uses the image of a shepherd and sheep to describe what is going on and what God is about to do. For you see, these civic leaders and these religious leaders, the kings and the priests, the shepherds of Israel, they have done an atrocious job at leading the people. They have harassed them and used these people to their own ends. And so God says he's had enough. God sends the prophet Ezekiel to speak to the shepherds of Israel. And he says, enough is enough. Now is the time for the leaders to pay. And so if you're with me in Ezekiel 34, friends, let's pick it up from verse 8. Ezekiel chapter 34, starting at verse 8. As I live, declares the Lord God, surely because my sheep have become a prey, and my sheep have become food for all the wild beasts, since there was no shepherd, and because my shepherds have not searched for my sheep, but the shepherds have fed themselves and have not fed my sheep. Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God, behold, I am against the shepherds, and I will require my sheep at their hand and put a stop to their feeding the sheep. No longer shall the shepherds feed themselves. I will rescue my sheep from their mouths, that they may not be food for them. Well, friends, here in Ezekiel 34, we see that God cares for his own, and he judges those who would harm them. You see, when abuse and harassment occur to God's people, God sees it. He hears the cries for help that come from the abused. He sees the tears of the brokenhearted. The God of the universe sees, and he cares. And what's more, he is furious with those who would hurt his own people. Can you see it there, friends? God is far more angry at abuse than we could ever be. God is disgusted and livid when people use power to harm and oppress. And so God is far more willing to do something about it than we are. And in Israel's case, that's exactly what happens. You see, God says that he has set himself against the shepherds of Israel, those abusive leaders, the priests and the kings. God is now their enemy. You see, they will have to answer to him. They will not get away with what they've done. They now have to contend with the just and righteous God of all the world. And so what Ezekiel 34 shows us, friends, is a picture of true justice. God will bring those who would commit such atrocious things against his people, God will bring them to account. And something we need to kind of get our head around and kind of do as we see this is we need to manage our own expectations. Friends, we need to manage our own expectations. Now, you see, the scriptures call us to long for justice, right? They tell us to be a people who pray for it, who pray for the Lord to return in order to set things right. But the scriptures also remind us that the time for true justice is not yet. You see, it's not up to us to bring about God's justice now. Our call is to wait. To do good while we wait, yes. But our call is to know that God will hold people accountable. To know that true and perfect justice will happen, but that is still to come. So friends, what have we seen from Ezekiel 34? We've seen that God cares for those who suffer at the hands of those with power. It's not for nothing that God is called the father to the fatherless and the protector of widows in the Old Testament. God shows love and care for the oppressed, and he will bring perpetrators to an account. That is what our God will do about abuse of power. This is where our hope lies. And friends, can you see that this is actually so much better than the alternative? To a world without hope, if there is no judgment day, if God will not hold all people accountable, it means those who have done atrocious things in this life will get away with it. The judgment of God is actually the great hope of the day when justice will win out in the end. And so that's where our hope lies. But it doesn't end there. You see, we see more of a hope for the world in our next passage. And so would you, friends, turn with me to Mark chapter 10, our second reading from this morning, Mark chapter 10, starting from verse 35. And here in Mark 10, we see an episode in the ministry of Jesus where his disciples, James and John, come to him with a request. In Mark chapter 10, the disciples, they want glory. You see, they ask for the coveted positions of authority and power at Jesus' side when he brings in the kingdom of God. And as we see in the story, it's not just James and John, but the other disciples want it as well. But as usual, Jesus shows them that they've missed what really matters. And so if you've got Mark chapter 10 open in front of you, turn with me to verse 42. Mark chapter 10, verse 42. And Jesus called them to him and said to them, "You know that those who are considered rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. But it shall not be so among you. But whoever would be great among you must be your servant, and whoever would be first among you must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." You see, friends, here in Mark chapter 10, we have the king who comes with all power only to lay down his own life. Jesus addresses his disciples here and he shows them just how radically different the world is to the kingdom of God. Can you see that Jesus shows us how power and authority work according to the world's principles? Right? This is how the Gentiles live. This is how the nations live. This is how the world works. And it's about lording it over others. Showing your authority by expressing dominion. Showing that you have real power by making it hurt for other people. Isn't that exactly what we've seen so far in our world with so much abuse of power? Human beings using power to oppress and to hurt. That's the way the world works. That's how humanity operates. But then Jesus says God's new and perfect kingdom is different. It's not the same as our world. God's kingdom operates with upside down principles. Can you see there, friends? Power in the kingdom of God, authority in the kingdom of God is used for the service of others. The leader with real authority in God's kingdom uses it by seeking the good of those that they are responsible for. There can be and will be no abuse in God's kingdom because power is used wonderfully for the sake of others. And what's beautiful here is that Jesus actually sets himself up as the perfect example of this. Can you see it there? Verse 45, the Son of Man, the one who has all authority in heaven and on earth, the King of the universe, he comes to serve and to lay down his life for others. The one who has the power over seas and storms, over sickness and death, over demons and the devil. That one is willingly suffers abuse and injustice for our sake. You see, friends, in some way, the cross is the ultimate example of abuse at the hand of worldly powers. The cross is the place where human authorities enacted the greatest injustice the world has ever seen, as the Son of God is crucified on a lowly Roman cross. But in God's kindness, that's not where the story ends. After death comes rising from the grave. The resurrection is the ultimate reversal. It's the place where we see vindication of power. And so you see, friends, this is where our hope lies. In a kingdom so different to the world we live in. And a king who uses his power to ransom sinners. And so you see, friends, what do we see here from Mark chapter 10? Well, it's that God's kingdom is countercultural and upside down compared to the world we live in. Power and authority are used and expressed for the good of others in God's kingdom. And we see that ultimately in Jesus. The gospel hope shows us that King Jesus is the revolutionary leader that our world longs for, one who uses his power for good. And so, friends, as we see that hope that the gospel brings into this issue of abuse of power, it's helpful now for us to think together about how seeing that hope should change things for us. And so, firstly, let's have a think about how it changes our culture here at St. John's. You see, friends, in light of what we've seen from God's word, Christians of all people should be angry and disgusted when we see abusive powers. We who are now part of God's countercultural kingdom should know better. And so we are the last people who should ever excuse or keep silent about such things. We need to make sure, friends, that we never tolerate such evil amongst us, whether it's misuse of power in the home or even in the church, whether it's by me or David or Carmen or even Bruce. We need to make sure that our leaders are held accountable. You see, friends, while we know that true justice will only come in the end when Jesus returns, we can still play our part now to make sure that St. John's is a safe place for everyone. Earlier this year, a friend of mine got in contact with me. He's a minister in a church in another part of Sydney. And he was sharing a little bit about some of the things that were going on there. And one of the big things was what was coming to light was examples of terrible abuses of power. Terrible things had been going on in that church for years. And unfortunately, my friend had kind of come in at the time when it was all coming to light. But the saddest thing he shared with me was that people knew about it. The people in the church were aware. They knew some of these abuses and terrible things that happened in the church, and yet no one dared to confront it. They thought it better to keep it all a secret. Friends, let's not make that same mistake here at St. John's. Our church here at St. John's is part of the Sydney Anglican Diocese, and in this diocese we have a clear system of reporting where you can tell people what's going on, where you can alert people to where this kind of thing happens. If you want any more details about that, our senior associate pastor, David Old, wrote something about this in the Cathedral News in the past week. David outlined there the process of how you might go about reporting such things. Friends, please don't let this kind of thing be kept secret here at St. John's. And can I say, if this is something that's happening to you now, whether it's at home or at church or anywhere else, please let somebody know. It is not okay that this kind of thing happens. And so let's make sure that at St. John's we don't permit this kind of abuse of power to happen. And friends, if you are someone who has either in the past or even in the present been guilty of such things, the Bible reminds us that we are to come to the Lord Jesus Christ repenting, turning away from that, and trusting that there is forgiveness even for those who have used power in horrible ways. Jesus brings forgiveness for anyone and everyone. But the key thing is to repent and turn to him. And so that's how, as a church culture, we can be dealing with these things a little bit better. But last of all, friends, I think we need to let what we've heard today about the hope of the gospel shape the way we live in the world. You see, friends, if we are Christian people, if we know the gospel of Jesus Christ, then we are a people who live with countercultural ways of thinking about power. You see, we are a people whose faith is not in ourselves, but in Jesus, the King who died for us. And we are a people who have a King who set the example for us as those who use power for the good and for the love of others. And can I say, friends, when we live like that, when we let the hope of the gospel change us to our very core, well, that's when the world stops and takes notice. That's when they ask us for the reason for the hope that is in us. And so what is the hope that we have in the face of abusive power? Well, friends, our hope is in God. God who will bring true justice in the final judgment. And our hope is in the King who uses his power for our good and for our salvation. What better hope could the world have than that? Let me pray, friends. Gracious Father, we thank you so much for who you are, the loving, good, and merciful God who cares for the oppressed and the downtrodden. Father, thank you that your care and love is expressed most clearly and powerfully in the sending of Jesus into the world for us. Thank you that Jesus is the King who does not use his power to dominate, but he uses his power in self-sacrificial giving for us. Father, would you so transform us by this hope, the hope for that day of true justice to come, and the hope of a King who leads so much better than we could ever hope or imagine. Father, would you shape our lives by this hope? And would you help us to live now as Jesus' disciples? And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, friends, we've come to a time now where we're going to celebrate the Lord's Supper together. The Lord's Supper is a precious gift that the Lord Jesus